Welcome to another episode of MLB Talk. My name is Andrew Gerson, and I am joined by every single one of my co-hosts today. That would be Nadia Tseng, Chase Mandorski, and Brent Troop. You, of course, are listening to us on UCLAradio.com. And if you want to call us to talk about anything, the number you can call us at is 310-794-9348. That's 310-794-9348. By the way, we encourage you to go to the UCLA Radio Facebook page, click Listen Live, and join our chat room, because honestly, I think you guys would probably prefer that in terms of talking to us. Chase doesn't even know that we have a chat room, but we do have a chat room. So go on the chat room, ask us questions, we will respond to them, and don't be shy, because we'll be nice. We'll be nice.
Is it like us specifically, or UCLA Radio has a chat room?
UCLA Radio has a chat room. Okay. Now, if we advance our own social media more, maybe we can make that happen later. But for now, it's just the UCLA Radio chat room. So yeah, people will see your baseball-related questions, but that's all right. Just do it, because it's fun. And we have a really great show today. Lots of topics to talk about and less time to talk about them. So apologies for the late start. By the way, want to mention real quick, right now our pledge drive is going on. We have made a lot of money for the station, which desperately needs some new equipment. Right now we are all in one half of our station because of some technical issues. So please help us out. Go to our Indiegogo page or hit us up and say, hey, I want to send you lots of money. And we'll help you with that.
Yeah, there are literally four grown people in a very small space. So please, if that's not sad enough to you, you should donate.
It's pretty warm also.
Very warm. And as we make intense conversation, the room might increase in temperature as well. Okay, so first item of news. Marlins fire Mike Redman and promote/demote Dan Jennings to manager, depending on how you want to look at it. As a result, the front office, the assistant GMs are going to take over as the main GM, and one of the advanced scouts is actually going to be the first base coach in a strangely related move. So, first off, was Mike Redman a decent manager?
To me, I think he didn't necessarily have a fair shot to begin with because he came in a rebuilding stage. But this was a guy who... This is a guy who I wonder, you know, what really got him the job to begin with in the first place? I remember thinking at the time he was hired, oh, it's just another, you know, big league catcher, and everyone loves to hire big league catchers like Mike Socha, Brad Ausmus, to name a few. I think he was an okay manager. I mean, they finished 77 and 85 last year, which you got to think if Stanton plays in September, that could be a 500 record. And that was with losing Jose Fernandez last year. They didn't really have any business being a 500 team. But that said, when Jeffrey Loria is your owner, probably up there with the Donald Stearns and Jim Dolans of the world and being one of the worst, if not the worst, owner in sports, they're going to be impatient. And they made a ton of moves this offseason. They got Matt Latos, Dan Hare, and D. Gordon signed Stanton the extension. And I just think expectations were high and he didn't live up to them.
I think part of that is true. At the same time, though, I think expectations probably appeared to be incorrectly high. That was my opinion, that, you know, they were a decent team. I think right now they're probably underperforming a little bit. But they're you know, very, very fringy contenders, especially with the Nationals in their division. So in that sense, I think, you know, definitely Loria's expectations were too high. And then Redman as a manager, I didn't have too much of an opinion on him. I didn't think he was terrible. I didn't think he was great. I would say he's probably on the... probably closer to being decent. I think my only issue with him is the way he held on to C-Shack at the beginning of this year, but obviously now that's over. So I thought he was a decent manager. I think he'll probably get another job. I didn't think he was that bad. And moving on, do you guys think the Marlins are going to play better, worse, or the same with Dan Jennings? You know, we've seen sort of Milwaukee play better since Ron Renicki's been fired, but that hasn't been related.
I think they're going to play much worse. They had a shot at getting the second wild card before they fired him, but now they're way worse than teams like the Pirates, the Dodgers or Giants, whoever you want to say is going to win that division. And also, the NL Central has the Reds and the Brewers have picked it up. The Nationals will win the NL East. There's no chance that the Marlins will make the playoffs now with him.
So do you feel like Dan Jennings actively makes his team worse?
Yes, the last time he coached was high school.
Yeah. and I was going to make that point too. The thing that's interesting to me is you don't make a managerial shift this early in the season unless you believe what you have is still salvageable. And the fact that the person they believe can salvage, now I don't even want to say salvage, it's not like they've been too off to a terrible start, like Andrew said, it's just they weren't off to the high expectations they were met. But the guy who's supposed to save the day is a guy who last dugout experience was in high school and has been in the front office this whole time. You just, it's really questionable in my mind.
I'll also add, when Stanton signed this big contract, you got to think he probably knew there were going to be managerial changes just because it's the Marlins, the way the team's run. It's kind of a shit show of a franchise, to be honest. But do you think that his first managerial change would be the guy who literally did sign him to that big contract?
No, obviously not. I definitely didn't see this coming, but I think it's so interesting that you guys think that Dan Jennings is negatively going to impact this team. I won't say that he's going to make them better, but I honestly think that, you know, Only the Don Mattinglys of the world who consistently make mistakes.
Oh, that's not nice.
Come on. He's not a good manager. I'm sure Don Mattingly is a great players manager. You know, I bet he's able to do drills and all that stuff great. Now, I think that's an area where Dan Jennings is going to be weak, obviously. You know, his last coaching experience was 30 years ago, and doing drills with high school players is a lot different than drills with major league players. But in terms of during the game managerial moves, coming from the front office is not a terrible thing. And I think that at the very least, he can just be average and not actively hurt his team or actively improve his team.
Well, the way I look at it is that, so think of it from a player standpoint, I feel like it's almost insulting for an owner to give you the manager who should know the ins and outs of the games, who should be there for, you know, all of this stuff that's happening on the field, for it to be a front office guy. So just right off the bat, the clubhouse sentiment among the players isn't going to be all that positive. So that's one reason why I don't think this is going to, you know, at least, like you said, I mean, at the best, it'll be fine, but I don't think he's going to be fantastic or, you know, be the reason why they make a big push for anything.
Yeah, you make a really good point with player morale. I meant in a completely neutral context. Okay. But, yeah, all that stuff, when you consider, I mean, that stuff is a part of it. You know, obviously, Giancarlo Stanton is going to be at least a little bit upset. And I would be, too, if I was in their situation. So that's a fair point. You do have to take that into account. And so I guess it's probably not the best thing for them to have done. Finally, on this topic, do you think Giancarlo is regretting his deal with the devil? And, of course, I'm speaking about Jeffrey Loria when I say the devil.
Part of me thinks no, only because, yeah, they've gotten off to a bad start, but...
Speaking of bad starts, I just spilled my entire water bottle all over myself and my computer. So Nadia will be right back.
Yeah.
She can hold his own microphone.
Yep.
This isn't reason enough for you to donate.
Please help us. Maybe get us enough funds for a new computer for Nadia.
Can we just look at this? Now I have to go run. I have water all over my pants and I have to go run to the bathroom.
It's going to be fine.
If you don't get us,
best of luck.
If you don't get us microphones, at least get us some towels to have in here.
Yes, yes. In studio towels.
Okay, I'm going to leave this here. I'm sorry. You guys continue.
No, you're good.
It's all good.
The thing with the Stanton signing.
See, this is why we should have periscoped the show today. Because everyone would have been able to see that.
I would have been okay with it. I just didn't know what it meant.
Right. Fair enough.
The thing with me and the Stanton signing is this team, I think, still has a lot of potential because Herons pitched well. Latos, you got to think, will pitch better. They're going to get Fernandez back, which is huge. And even, you know, with the exception of Mike Morse, not that he's going to keep it up, but D. Gordon's hitting, what, like 420?
A bajillion.
Now, don't get me wrong. D. Gordon is not going to hit a bajillion, but he's shown he might be like a 285 leadoff hitter in the bigs.
Well, I think the thing that's crazy about this year, at least, is, you know, even when he regresses, obviously he's going to regress, he's still going to have an amazing batting average. And I think that was not necessarily unexpected, but the level to which he's played so far has been just incredible.
So you figure between him, Yelich coming back, bouncing back, Ozuna's been having a pretty good year. The computer seems to be okay, which is encouraging.
For now.
I think it'll be all right.
Are you sure?
Maybe we'll call the rice department and get some rice in here. just to make sure that everything's okay. But everyone, be glad for Nadia's computer appears to be all right. Her morale, however, is somewhat damaged.
And my pants not as high. Okay, back to baseball.
And another thing with the Giancarlo Stanton deal is he can opt out after 6 years instead of staying all 13 years. So if the Marlins really are as bad as we think they'll end up being, or possibly being, he could still be out of there by the time he's 31 and have a productive career somewhere else.
Speaking of which, do you guys think that it's possible Giancarlo has already made up his mind on that? I know it's early, but this type of firing, I mean, Mike Redmond was a decent manager. You never heard crazy complaints about him. And I think that just reading some of Stanton's reactions recently, he obviously was upset. And I think, you know, he's already made comments before signing this deal about, you know, how he wanted things to be a little different. And yeah, I'm not sure what he's going to plan to do.
I think, is that a caller? No.
Well, just answer. Because the thing is, we can't talk to them because we don't have our headphones.
That's true. It's probably just one of my idiot friends, to be honest, so pay it no mind. I think it's too soon to tell if he made up his mind or not. And honestly, Jennings, from what I've read, might not have been the worst hire in the world, just because at least this guy is a well-respected scout with analytic experience. What you were talking about with the morale in the dugout, all these guys, for the most part, he either signed or drafted, so he knows the players, he knows the team well. And some of the alternatives were just not great. Like Jeff Conine, really likable guy, but tough, you know, to just throw a guy with even less experience than Jennings in there. Bobby V was in consideration. Bobby V is just a nutcase. So was Jennings a typical Marlins hire? Yes, but couldn't have been worse? Absolutely.
So for the record, the caller is actually an old friend of the show / host of the show, Christian Peterson. I would like to let him know that because of our technical state, we can't really pick up phone calls, and that's actually on me for not realizing that when I announced the number. So please go to our UCLA Radio page and go to the chat room, or just keep texting me. I'll let you know. All right, moving on. We've got lots of news and notes. For starters, injuries. There's been quite a couple today, actually, that have been very significant. Victor Martinez, he of the ailing knee, is going on the DL. Worth with, I believe, a fracture in his wrist, also going to be on the disabled list. And Devin Mesoraco is not still catching yet. Any opinions or thoughts on those guys before we move to the rest of the injury notes?
No, we can go on. I feel more passionate about someone you're going to say down the line.
Oh, well, my fantasy team this year has lost a solid 9 guys. One guy we haven't mentioned yet is Doug Fister, who just went on the DL with forearm strain, which is never good for a pitcher because it usually leads to Tommy John. So that's as much as I have to give.
All right. Well, I think the Victor Martinez situation is very interesting because a lot of money was thrown at him, and it was clear from the start that he wasn't healthy. And I think, you know, this is actually a very big mistake. He's a fantastic hitter, but he's too old. That's just the truth. And I think that the team is really going to regret that later. They've been giving him a lot of at-bats in the 4 spot, and it's time that change. So moving on, we also have Hyun-Jin Ryu opting for shoulder surgery, which is...
This is extremely detrimental to the Dodgers rotation. And the thing, in my mind, I've been looking forward to the day to just, you know, tweet out that my, you know, I feel like baseball season has started all over again with Hyun-Jin Ryu, my favorite noodle-eating pitcher out there, back. And now to think that that might not happen this season, really, really tough. And, you know, surprisingly enough, the Dodgers really have been picking up the slack and being able to get it together when it does come to this back end of the rotation. But Hyun-Jin Ryu, it would have fits in there so nicely, and they could have really used him this season. And it's really tough knowing that most likely we're not going to see him this season.
Is he your favorite player because he's number 99?
Well,
it's so much more than that, Chase. Have you seen him eat noodles? Come on.
Thank you. I love that Andrew literally... He, you should have been here last season. We had a lot of discussion about, because, you know, Korean star Hyun Jin Ryu is like a big deal, and he's in a lot of like noodle commercials. So that's why he's my like my favorite. And I tend to gravitate towards the Asian players because of my own heritage. But no, it's not 99. He could have been number. I don't even care what, and I still would have loved him.
This injury definitely hurts the Dodgers. I was at the game Friday against the Rockies when Kershaw pitched. And even Kershaw has been good, but not Kershaw-esque, which, granted, is still pretty good, relatively speaking. Like, besides Greinke, the rotation's been a little shaky, I would say. But on the flip side, Jansen coming back Friday and striking out four guys in 14 pitches, that's encouraging. And this offense is just unbelievable. And I think if there's any team that can make up for the slack of losing a guy like Ryu and just kind of having a so-so rotation, it's definitely this year's Dodgers.
Let me ask you an interesting question. Is the Dodgers starting rotation the weakest part of their team?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Can anything be done about it this year to fix it?
I mean, they have some guys from AAA who really have been picking up the slack, and they've been shuffling around players a lot because of this. But Mike Bolsinger's had three very good starts. Scott Baker's one of them. Carlos Frias.
You can't believe Mike Bolsinger, though. I don't buy it
my
for a second.
My point is that the starts that he has had, they've been good enough for us, for the bullpen to take over and do their
work. Got rid of Scott Baker.
No, I know. My point is that they have guys who, believe it or not, are kind of holding up that back end. I don't know if there's going to be anyone who's going to be the for sure number four guy or for sure number five guy, but they have guys who are starting to get into the groove, and it's not like when you're expecting a loss when they pitch at all. No, they really have been holding their own, and that is, you know, thanks to the bats, but
well, I think the issue here is in the postseason, we've seen starting pitching be a weakness for them. I mean, mainly I'm talking about Kershaw, but
no, but if you want to think about it that way, really the weakness was the bullpen because Kershaw wouldn't have stayed in on a lot of those bases if it wasn't for the bullpen being so unreliable.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Here's another Dodgers-related question here. If Julio Urias continues to pitch this way at AA, is it worth it to call him up in September for a couple extra wins?
No.
Now, keep in mind, this would not affect his innings pitch total. Like, maybe by a little bit, but it's not where you go from 40 innings to 180.
No. The kid is still 17 years
18.
Old.
He's 18. Oh. He can vote. He can't vote, but bad example. Bad example. He's an adult.
Well, he's an 18-year-old pitcher who you're going to try and preserve that arm as much as you can until you are absolutely ready, in my opinion, because this is not something that you want to screw up. So I don't think it's worth it. And I really, truly believe that the current Dodgers bullpen, especially with Kenley back, and believe it or not, I'm looking forward to, you know, whenever Brandon League returns, because he was great last season. Let's see if he can continue. So
that to me, words Brandon League and great, like, just
he was one of the, behind Kenley Jansen, one of the best relievers out of that bullpen. So I have reason to believe that they won't need Urias if it comes down to September.
Christian thinks the opposite. He says that the Dodgers will lead the division until game 110 and then collapse like a bunch of B-words.
But does he think that Urias will be the reason why?
No. Urias, that to me was just throwing out a long shot because, yes, you know, it's good to ask some hot questions, have my hot takes, you know?
Slightly unrelated Dodgers question that I have for Nadia. What are your thoughts on Chris Hatcher and Carlos Frias.
Right?
Let people go.
Yeah.
Well, because Friday night, they were both chilling in the outfield sections of the Dodgers game. Met them both. They seemed like good guys. But based on what you just said about Brandon League coming back, they're not going to just cut League because he's got an obscene, like, three-year, $22 million contract. Are my two boys here going to make it through the rest of the season with the Dodgers?
I did not. Why didn't you tell me this? That's really cool. We can talk about this later, first of all. But
he's a good guy, Hatcher.
Hatcher would go before Frias.
Oh, no, I like
him. Oh, not Hatcher. That's just my personal opinion, but also not really. I'm not really sure on the timetable for League either. So,
okay.
Aww. Sorry, show me pictures.
So, moving on to our non-injury related portion of news and notes. Hunter Pence returned to the Giants, who promptly scored 30 runs in three games to win the series versus the Reds. They looked awesome. I love Hunter Pence. I'm so happy he's back. And also Brandon Crawford, you guys, this is the breakout year. I'm telling you, he leads the Giants in RBIs, has six home runs, and is hitting like 285, something 360, then like 450.
I will say nothing at my fantasy draft got me dumped on more than when I said, hey, guys, Brandon Crawford's going to hit 20 homers this year. You watch.
No, we've been on the Brandon Crawford train this whole time. So I have to say I'm really, really digging it. And Brandon Belt also looks like he's finally figuring out how to avoid a half-season-long slump when his swing goes out. All right. Shelby Miller, one out from no-hitting the Marlins. And in other words, did the Braves win the Jason Hayward trade? Too early. Too early, of course. But what are your take right now?
I could tell you, because he's on my fantasy team, Hayward's bat has not been... I don't even know if it's what you would expect out of Jason Hayward's bat, to be honest, because he had that great rookie year and he was such a hyped-up prospect. But since he's been a little bit of above-average hitter, I know War loves him because he's so fantastic in right field. It really depends on if Hayward bounces back, because the Cardinals, I think, were a playoff team without Hayward. They're going to be a playoff team with Hayward now. If they lock him up, maybe we'll see, but... The thing with Miller is they traded him after 2 years. He always had the stuff, and now it's, you know, he had a great rookie year, a so-so second year. Usually the third or fourth year is when these guys put it together, and it looks like Atlanta, I don't want to say stolen ace, because they did give up Hayward, who's a good talent. But, you know, they might have their ace going forward now.
They stole an ace, and I'll tell you why. Since the second year of Hayward's career, he's not hit more than 20 home runs. And the big thing with Hayward was that he could be a five-tool guy. And the power just hasn't been there since. And I think the Cardinals should be very cautious about re-signing him. You know, the defense is great. The average is great. But what they need is power. That's what they need. And that's what you want from a guy like Hayward. So I think that, you know, the Braves, in trading a home guy, definitely lost maybe some fan respect. But Shelby Miller's been worth it.
If the Cardinals didn't lose Adam Wainwright to a freak injury while he was batting, no one would really pay too much attention to this, because their rotation would still be Wainwright, Lynn, Waka, Carlos Martinez, and I know I'm forgetting someone.
They're getting Jaime Garcia back for the first time in like 3 years.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, actually, because I always thought he was a really interesting pitcher. But as far as Wainwright goes, you can't expect him to be healthy. I think to have that expectation is not necessarily irrational, but you look at what's happened throughout his career, especially as he's gotten older, and he just always felt like a ticking time bomb to me, kind of like Chris Carpenter, unfortunately. So I don't think that the Cardinals were unjustified in what they did, but you know, some trades are uneven. That's just how it goes. So Noah Syndergaard pitched two times for the Mets, I think received one win and had one so-so start. Hit Carlos Gomez in the head with 97-mile-an-hour fastball, but car goes okay. Thoughts on Syndergaard, a.k.a. Thor?
Well, first off, now that you just set me up for that, you had to know this was coming. Any rotation with Thor and Batman.
Ah!
The Dark Knight, Matt
Harvey. Wait. But there's a whole Marvel DC problem here. It doesn't work.
This is an argument we can have for another day. We'll talk baseball right now. But I think it's funny. I was having this conversation at lunch today. It took the Mets a very long time to realize that if you're going to build a pitcher's park, you should have some good pitchers for it. I think Syndergaard, I think, is the real deal. I think he might struggle a little bit this year, but when you combine him with Harvey, DeGrom, long-term, and then even the ageless wonder that is Bartolo Colon for the next year or two, this definitely could be the best rotation in baseball right now. Granted, the Nationals' rotation is a little struggling. I still would take them on paper, but the Mets, they're doing something right.
And don't forget Steven Matz, who's in AAA. He's either in AA or AAA, but he's nearly major league ready. Some people actually said he was more ready than Syndergaard.
Is it Rafael Montero?
And then
also
there's Rafael Montero. So we're talking 2 years from now, they're stacked 1 through 4. And then Bartolo can be 5.
Any, and he's 45. Any lefties, though, if they get rid of Nice?
I mean, who cares about that? I think, like, that's important. No. It, you don't want to get stacked. It's true you don't want to get stacked against. But, oh, no, Steven Matz is lefty. Oh,
okay.
So there you go. But you don't want to get stacked against, it's true, but I think having more than two left-handed pitchers in your starting rotation is problematic, because then you're just basically fighting platoons. So they're going to be great later rather than sooner. The team's been slipping. Anyways, Nationals swept the Padres over the weekend, continue to look better in May as Bryce Harper shows that he is legit. And also of note, oh yeah, Danny Espinosa has like crazy facial hair.
He looks like
me during No Shave November.
No, what's or possibly like. what's the game you play where it's like the bald dude and you drag the thing around with the pen? I'll Google it and find out. But what? You know
what?
No.
What are you talking about?
Get your East Coast nonsense out of
okay. It's not East Coast moving on. Astros sweep Blue Jays in four, have multiple home runs in three of those games. Thoughts on the Astros or Blue Jays? Both interesting hitting teams.
Altuve is the guy who the Astros, I think, are going to live and die with.
Yeah, he's the anchor.
I think he's proven, though, that last year was no fluke. This team reminds me a lot of what the Yankees used to be in that you have one or two good average hitters. So I'm talking like a Bernie Williams or a Paul O'Neill, per se. And then just a lot of guys who are either going to hit the ball far or just not hit the ball at all. But I think, and it's also interesting, is it Carlos Correa?
Yep.
I mean, he could be up in the next few months.
Okay, so... By the way, slight correction, the Nationals did not sweep the Padres. Padres won game one, and we are going to try to take this call. So here we go. Hello, you are on UCLA Radio.
By the way,
hello? First, I just want to make a comment to Chase Majorski. I think that game you were talking about was Angry Birds. And also, I actually think the key to the Astros roster is actually, the pitcher, Colin McHugh, I actually think he's the key to the Astros. He's been playing great. You know, it's come out of nowhere. So I think, you know, no offense to Mr. Majorski, but you are wrong.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Did you hear that?
So we also have a second spilled water bottle, but far less damage this time because my water bottle is spill-proof. And also, the caller was saying that Majorski... come on.
Thanks for buying a water bottle for a two-year-old.
Not going to lie. Hey. No.
Anyways.
No. Just no, this is not. This is an adult water bottle. Okay, moving on.
Your friend said you were wrong.
Yeah, about the Astros. I'm not sure what you were saying about the Astros, but apparently you were wrong, man.
Something about a pitch. I couldn't hear the name.
Well, you said something about Colin McHugh.
Is the anchor, not the anchor, is going to pull through with the Astros and that Altuve won't. So
I can't agree with that.
You're just,
sorry.
You're just wrong. Sorry, Chase.
No, I'm with Chase on this. Altuve is everything to that lineup. He's the only guy who you know is going to get on when he hits. And that is huge for them because they really rely on, I think, those 2- and 3-run home runs, honestly. That's what I think they live off of. So... good for them. And
I got nothing.
Last up.
I'm still trying to find this game.
Or last two things here in news and notes before we go to break. Dodgers officially signed Hector Olivera. Does this make the logjam worse? Okay. I guess not. I mean, the logjam in the sense that they have a ton of players who play the same positions.
I got you. Yes, for sure. You have right now the crowded outfield. You have Guerrero still trying to find at bats. You're not a Guerrero fan?
No, I'm a huge Guerrero fan. I'm just talking about it. I just have counter arguments. Go ahead.
You have the crowded outfield. You have Guerrero. This is just another infielder. Eventually, Seager's going to be ready. Corey Seager, you're going to need to bring him up. It's a great problem to have, what the Dodgers have, that they have too many infield guys. And, you know, worst comes to worst, maybe not one of the Cubans, but one of the prospects, you ship them down the road. But... it's just right now they got a lot going for them.
Well, my point is that I want to say that the only reason that the Dodgers are doing as well as they are is because of their bench and how deep it is. So right now, yes, it's a fantastic problem to have. And let's think of it this way. Yasiel Puig and Carl Crawford are both injured. So is the outfield really crowded right now? No, you're having utility guys being shoved out into the outfield. What are you giggling about? Anyways, and my other point is that yes, it's a good problem to have in that how many players of these, you know, bench players who could be doing really well on other teams and playing more frequently can be packaged for other deals in the future. So, yes, it does make the logjam worse, but is it a bad problem? No.
That's a really fair point. I mean, the depth has been fantastic for them, so I won't argue that. Okay, and Danny Espinosa's beard also happens to look like Wooly Willy, so... go check that out because that's great.
That
not familiar with that reference at all, but you want to know what? It works. It works. And last but not least in our notes section, Chris Sale and Corey Kluber went to battle last night, combined for 2 runs, 19 strikeouts over 17 innings, and no wins, proving why the win is non-essential.
Did you forget to mention the no complete game part?
Oh yeah, and Corey Kluber pitched 9 innings and didn't get a complete game, so that helps my fantasy team none. All right. Now that that's settled, I think it's time for a break.
I'll give one quick shout out that someone in this room might not want me to give the shout out, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Sonati over here is wearing a Derek Jeter shirt, sweating profusely slightly, but wearing a Derek Jeter shirt nonetheless. I will give her a shout out because Nadia will be joining me on the East Coast this summer as an intern for Derek Jeter's very own newsletter.
Oh no!
Newsletter website, the
so
Players
much
Tribune.
Than that, man.
I get their emails every week. They're pretty cool, so I thought that was pretty cool and worth mentioning on air. Good job, Nadia, and we'll catch a Yankee game this summer.
Oh, that was very kind of you, Chase.
Chase, that was actually so sweet. Thank you. I'm super pumped, and you know, one day if I ever writing anything or talking to any athletes that you guys care about, I'll try and hook it up.
Yeah, you better. I've had multiple promises made to me on this subject, not just from you. So I'm hoping you and your Major League Baseball promising cohorts will.
We'll
hook it up.
Really, the only reason I took the internship is at the prospect of potentially meeting Derek Jeter. So
I mean, you have to.
Realistically,
right?
That's the only reason.
Before we take our break, what is the first thing you would say to Derek Jeter upon meeting him?
Literally this. I don't know.
Okay.
Are the gift baskets a real thing?
Perfect.
And can I have one? I'm just kidding.
So that has been the first half of MLB Talk. When we come back, we'll get to Tweet of the Week and much more. You are listening to us on UCLA Radio. All right. Welcome back. You are listening to MLB Talk at UCLARadio.com. And, of course, if you would like to listen to this show again, because there's been so much hilarity and good baseball discussion, you can check it out at UCLAMLBTalk.podomatic.com. That's UCLAMLBTalk.podomatic.com. And of course, UCLA Radio is continuing its pledge drive at the moment. You can go donate at igg.me/@UCLA Radio.
It's a lot of backslashes.
It is a lot of backslashes. I'll repeat it one more time because there are so many backslashes. igg.me/@UCLA Radio.
And if you do not donate, there will be a lot of backlash.
we're just going to have more accidents happen. It'll be miserable. We'll be sad. And that's not what you want from us. All right. So I think it's time for our Tweet of the Week.
Spill water on you.
So I've got a couple tweets. I'll just throw one out while everyone gets prepared here. This one's from @based_ball. That would be Jeff Sullivan from Fangraphs. Since the start of last year, Aaron Harang has lower ERA than David Price. That's insanity. And it speaks to Aaron Harang's ability to just continue to be a orangutan. Am I right, you guys? That was my team name.
Reference.
That was my team name 2 years ago. So, yeah. I love the orangutans, man. You can't go wrong.
Okay. Mine's from DJ Short. And I will say, the way it's typed, I might not deliver it that well, but it's just really funny. So he goes, me managing the Marlins. Ready to exchange lineup cards, Mr. Umpire. This says Giancarlo Stanton 9 times, where he goes, oh, wait, I can't do that?
I love that one. Did you see the one where someone just switched his name up a bunch of different times?
No.
There's one where it's John Stanton, Carlos Stanton, Mike Stanton. It just went on and on. It was great. So, and then I think at the bottom it had like D. Gordon or something.
Oh, just, we have our own playlist?
Yeah, man. I've been running that.
Mine is from... Oh, all right. This is coming off. All right.
Stop taking off the mic, Chase. Okay.
Someone else just...
All right. Go for it.
This is going to sound kind of lame, but my tweet of the week is actually from me. I went to the UCLA baseball game this past Friday night, and I got to see them throw their first no-hitter in history. And also, Dodgers president of baseball operations, Andrew Friedman, was there. So I got to go up and introduce myself to him.
And he didn't make any trade suggestions. Can't believe it.
Trust me, I'm sure whatever you would have to say, it's already gone.
You got his professional email, right? No, seriously, you should like try to find him on LinkedIn or whatever. Just saying.
Mine is from @RealBanny, Brian Bannister. Have you guys ever heard the song American Pie?
Of course.
So a long, long time ago, I can still remember how that @Chen music used to make me smile. Congrats on a great career, Bruce Chen. I think Bruce Chen played for like 11 teams in 17 years. So good career.
Happy retirement, Bruce Chen, and also happy retirement to Rafael Furcal.
Oh my God, man! That
I was mentioning
childhood.
Him in a more negative way, as yes, he's finally gone, but obviously you enjoy.
Well,
House
for one, oh, if you, I don't know where you're from, but if anyone's from LA, like going to Dodger games, Rafael Furcal was like the man.
Still a bad Dodger guy.
Well, he's just I don't. Okay, anyways, aside from the nostalgia.
Okay, so I have one more tweet, but first I would like to thank my father for donating to UCLA Radio. Thank you very much. It means a lot because,
thank you
know,
Father
we
Griffin.
Just we just want to, yeah, yeah, that if you, I mean, he's not an ordained priest, especially not because we're Jewish, but, you know, I think he understood that. And, yeah, thank you so much for allowing us to improve the station and just provide this quality stuff for
you. Mom and Dad, I know you're listening, and I know I haven't brought this up before today, but I'll send you the link. You should donate also.
All right. So my second tweet of the week comes from at Sam Miller BP. That's Baseball Prospectus. And still can't get over the fact that managers treat 21-plus strikeouts as less significant than some dumb no-hitter in reference to Corey Kluber not getting into the ninth inning of his 18-strikeout game. I completely agree, as I was once again denied the complete game and shutout categories in one of my fantasy leagues. Very disappointing.
Not the commissioner. Don't talk to me.
But speaking of that, and I'm not venting to you, I'm venting to the baseball universe, Chase. But speaking of Kluber, he has gotten 30 strikeouts in the last 17 innings. Corey Kluber may not be the best pitcher in Major League Baseball, but does he have the best stuff in Major League Baseball out of starting pitchers? That sounds like hesitation from people who maybe haven't seen that much of Kluber.
No,
I've seen him. He carried the fantasy team last year. But I would say the best stuff in baseball, I'm going to go, and I'm going to sound like a huge Yankee homer here, but I'm going Betances.
That no, guy's no, no, no. I said starters. Starters.
Oh,
yeah,
because, I missed that
yeah.
part. I'm still going to be a Yankee homer and go healthy Tanaka pre-elbow and arm
no.
falling off.
No. Boo. If we had our normal setup, I would mute your mic right now. That's too homerish.
But too bad the Yankee fan is holding his mic, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. All right, Brent, what do you think?
Have you seen Kershaw's curveball? That's my only thing.
This is what I thought was going to be brought up, and my the only thing that says that makes me say not Kershaw is just that it's not he doesn't have the same dominance with the fastball, especially this year. And I think if you look at Kluber, all of his pitches move, and they're just it's just crazy. And I failed to describe the awesomeness of Corey Kluber's pitching arsenal.
The Klubot.
Okay. So, yeah, the Klubot. I got to say, I love that nickname. I think it's awesome. So, moving on, I think it's time for Hot Not Players of the Week, you guys. And, of course, Chase, you're going to go last because Tanaka.
All right.
Just now.
So, are we doing hot or hot not?
Any way you want to do it. Any way you want to do it.
I don't mind. I'll just start with my hot. So, I mean, I might have mistaken hot for, you know, most improved, but I'm going to have to say it right off the bat. I'm choosing CeCe, who has being, I know Chase would like that, who, okay, his last game against the Royals, 7 innings, 6 hits, 1 earned run, no walks, five strikeouts, and he went through these whole 7 innings with 88 pitches. And I think that I'm seeing a CeCe that I have not seen since the season before last. I mean, he's looking really good, and I am really hopeful that he's going to do well, and I'm excited about that he did well this week, so that's why he's my hot player.
What did you see that was different? Like, if you could point out one thing, no? Okay.
I was not watching the game personally. But
All right. That's fair enough.
I'm looking at
how about this? Do you expect him to continue to improve? I mean, obviously not get better than scoreless, but you know what I mean.
No.
Stay consistent at that level?
I think he will. I think...
Oh, God.
What?
Continue.
yeah, no. Well, I mean, wishfully thinking, I think he's going to do well.
Okay. So, Chase is dismayed, so we're going to skip him. Brent, you're up.
My hot player of the week is Mike Moustakas. The other night, he was about 3 or 4 feet short of hitting for the cycle. His home run barely hit the top of the wall and came down for a double. But the thing that sticks out to me the most is last year, he batted about 200. This year he's hitting over 300, which is a huge, huge increase. So if he can keep it up, he'll definitely be one of the best players in baseball because he's already so good at defense. He really reminds me of Alex Gordon, how he was a bust at first, but is getting better slowly.
Yeah, I think Moose is one of those guys who has benefited from a year of the shift and figured out how to exploit it. There are a couple guys like that in the league, and it honestly props to him. The other big one is Ian Kinsler, who so far has no home runs but is hitting .318. My hot player of the week is going to be kind of a gimme, Miguel Cabrera, with 4 home runs in 3 games, including his 400th. He's now hitting, you know, his usual 300, 400, 500 line with lots of bombs, lots of RBIs. Is he back to normal after a subpar but still good year last year? Miguel Cabrera.
It's so hard.
Is he back to great?
Sorry, for anyone who cares, I'm upset because the Knicks just managed to land the 4th pick when we were supposed to get the 2nd pick.
Supposed to? It's a bunch of ping pong balls.
Statistically, we were supposed to get the 2nd pick. The thing with saying Miguel had a down year last year, didn't he still hit like 25 homers and have 105?
I think it was 22, but I could be wrong about that.
It's very similar to Pujols' first year in Anaheim, where it's like he had 30 homers, had almost 100 ribbies, but hit like 50 doubles. And everyone was like, oh, this was such a bad year.
But look what's happened to Pujols now. I mean, he's absolutely on the decline. He's only slugging .443, and I think his OBP is like around 300 right now.
All right, maybe Pujols wasn't the best comparison, but I think Miguel is back. I think last year he was hurt. The guy never been hurt before. You're allowed to have one quote-unquote down year, which would be a superstar year for 99% of the game. Miguel's back. Will that contract still be regrettable towards the back end? Absolutely, but for the next 5 or so years, enjoy, Tiger fans.
Okay, well done. So now it's time for our not players of the week.
I never did my hot player.
Well, yeah, because you got backed up because of Tanaka.
And the Knicks.
Well, I'm just going to, you know, how I love to throw on my Yankee and Dodger stuff all the time. My not player just of the week, though, maybe of the month, Jock Peterson, who we all knew was going to decline, undoubtedly, just because he started off so hot. But the guy was 4-for-27 the past week, hitting .169 the month of May, and compared to hitting nearly .300 last month, I mean, he strikes out a lot, and if you're going to strike out a lot, you need to make it work elsewhere. So I think that's why.
What was his OBP in the last week, though?
I was not.
Because he's the MLB walk leader, or was the MLB walk leader, and I think
he's pretty. He has to be high up there with strikeouts too, though.
Yeah, no, he's a 3 outcomes guy, but I love it. I love it. I love what he's done so far. I think screw the contact, because if you think about it, if he resorted to, you know, hitting for less power, the singles are just the same as walks. And so I love what he's doing. He's a great defender. I think, you know, the Dodgers' decision to just have him start immediately, take over center field, was a great one. So, yeah, I think it's time for him to adjust back.
But I'm just saying this particular week, we're going to talk it there.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with you. I just mean, like...
No, I agree with you.
It's just when someone brings up Jock Peterson, and normally I struggle like any Dodgers. I'm a big fan of this guy.
Yeah.
So it's still a great pick. He's gonna have to adjust back. All right, Chase, you get your not player, and then you can do your hot player after everyone else is gone.
My not player of the week. Oh, the Lakers got the 2nd pick, by the way, so congratulations. The not player of the week is Jordy Mercer. He's coming off a miserable week where he not only had a .136 average, but it's looking like he's going to lose his job to Jung Ho Kang, their Korean shortstop that they signed over the offseason. You kind of knew this was going to happen eventually just because, yeah, it's tough to predict translation of stats from the Korean league to here, but this guy was supposed to be special, but still sucks to lose your job.
Yeah, well, Kang has been playing pretty good. Definitely like his hitting. I don't have much to say about his defense.
My not player of the week is not because of anything he did, but because he's going to lose even more playing time in the future, and that's Alex Guerrero. Because Hector Oliveira, they just got him signed to his contract, and Yasiel Puig, although he did have a setback a few weeks ago, he'll be coming back soon, and it's just going to get even more crowded. I love the Dodgers. I'm a Dodgers fan, but I don't like the signing, and I don't like how Guerrero is going to lose playing time.
I like that pick. That's really interesting, and I think it really depends on, you know, where Oliveira is going to start in terms of minors, majors, you know, where. But it's definitely a good point. And the real issue with Guerrero is there's a stipulation in his contract where if he gets traded, the team that he's traded to only gets 1 year of control, as opposed to, I think it's two or three. So that's definitely going to be sticky.
Guerrero has some really interesting things going on with his contract.
He's a confusing player, for sure.
Yeah, and how he can't, he technically, like, cannot get sent down to the minors. What is that? You know that?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Anyone?
Well, they have that a lot in the NHL. Like, there's one-way or two-way contracts. So it's kind of like that. But yeah, we'll see what happens with him. My not player of the week is actually a position, and that would be the Red Sox right fielders, who collectively are hitting 19 for 132 on the season, which is obviously abysmal. And in addition to that, Mookie Betts, the Red Sox heir apparent to Dustin Pedroia, has been slumping. So I wanted to ask you guys, is it time for Rusney Castillo? Chase says yes. Nadia?
Yeah. Part of me says yes, part of me says no, just because I think what happens is when you send these young guys down so early, and there is a difference between Mookie Betts and the guy I'm going to compare him to, Jackie Bradley Jr., it's just hard once you send a guy down, you know, you're going to acquire different guys throughout to even find a spot for him. So do I think Castillo should be playing? Yes. Is Victorino still starting for them?
He is.
Maybe take some at-bats from Victorino, but yes, Betts is struggling, but he's a rookie. He's allowed to struggle. I wouldn't send him down. I'd keep giving him playing time. He's still a young guy adjusting to a new position in the big leagues. I wouldn't be opposed to, though, if I'm the Red Sox, having two rookie outfielders out.
Yeah, I didn't mean to give her to Betts. I was just pointing out that their outfield is bad. To me, in my opinion, you take away all the at-bats from Shane Victorino, you send him down to the minors or trade him, because honestly, I don't think he's worth it at all. All right, Chase, it's time for your hot player of the week. Although we don't have time for everything that was set up for, but that's
all right. Well, my hot player for the second week in a row, even though he just grounded into a big inning-ending double play against Justin Wilson and the Yankees, is Bryce Harper. This past week, he was 11 for 19, 9 runs, 3 homers, 8 ribbies, 8 walks, hit .579, kept my fantasy team in first place. This guy, even though he's only 23, I guess, is finally, quote-unquote, putting it together, and the Nationals are showing why everyone thought they were going to win the National League.
Yeah, Bryce Harper's been incredible. And, well, we'll just get into this quick analogy anyways. As youth has begun to take over baseball, you know, we're seeing lots of top prospects being promoted and just a lot of hype about prospects in general. I think there's been a lot of quality talent. We're starting to see, you know, new stars take hold. And with that, I've realized that Bryce Harper is the new Barry Bonds. He has great discipline at the plate. Lots of power, a beautiful left-handed stroke, and he wants to win more than anything else, and sometimes that gets him in trouble in the clubhouse. Do you guys agree?
My one thing before we go anointing Bryce Harper to be the next Barry Bonds, the plate discipline was newfound this year.
Sure, but it's legit. Because there's actually a threshold for this stuff, statistically proven. You get to around, it's either 50 or 100 plate appearances, and walk rates, strikeout rates start to stabilize. We're already past that point. The walks are legit.
In that case, then, I think it's a fair assumption. My only question is, at what point do you think he develops the robotic armor that Barry Bonds was wearing towards the end of
his career?
He
already was wearing it. I saw a piece of armor on Bryce Harper, I thought. That's part of it. But on the other hand, you have Mike Trout, who I would say is very much like Willie Mays. He does a lot of everything. He's very humble, and, you know, there's this sort of, like, godlike respect he gets. And I think that's really interesting. Of course, he's also a righty, and I think that, you know, they're going to have a great competition for the years to come. I'm very excited. And do you guys like that analogy, or do you think that the game has changed so much that it can't really apply?
I'm okay with it. It's just these guys are still really good, but they're also still so young. I feel like whenever we're comparing guys who are only in their fourth years to the Barry Bonds and, you know, Willie Mays of history, it just feels so premature. But the way these guys are playing, if they keep it up, they'll definitely be mentioned in the same light as them, for sure.
All right. And before we end the show, sorry for cutting you off, man. My bad. I want to go into one quick trade scenario here for my friend Nadia, because I think you will think this is very interesting. Stop. Troy Tulowitzki for Masahiro Tanaka. You say no instantly. I'm shocked. Why?
Well, because I just think Tulowitzki is too injury prone. We're not gonna assume.
But so is Tanaka.
But I don't think we've given Tanaka the chance yet. He's really only had one healthy season. Like, I'm still curious to see what he has to offer when he is completely healthy, which I think can still happen.
This season?
Not this season. I'm saying in the future, but I'm not ready to say that.
My outline for the future is the following for the Yankees. Tanaka comes back. Hopefully he's what he used to be. Pineda proves he's legit the rest of the year. We lock him up. Harper's a free agent next year. We give him whatever the hell he wants. He's, you know, fighting with the New York media for years to come. And because of that, I would not do the trade.
Thank you so much for listening. We will be here same time next week. You are listening to UCLA Radio, and thank you for swinging by.
Back by the beach. Still gonna bring the heat.